Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Oh, there's so many things to admire about so many characters of whom we read in the Old Testament. We can learn so many things from them. And our lesson today is taken from an Old Testament book, the book of Nehemiah. The Apostle Paul once wrote, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime are written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." Romans 15:4. Oh, there are many lessons we need to learn from that account that we find back here in the book of Nehemiah. Now, the story that we want to talk about is the Jewish people were in captivity, in Babylonian captivity. Following the reign of Saul and David and Solomon, the nation of Israel was divided into two nations, southern Judah and northern Israel. And these nations existed side by side for many years. But eventually, and this was due to the sinfulness of the people, God allowed the nation of Assyria to overrun northern Israel and to take them into a captivity from which they, as a nation, never returned. And Judah continued. They continued a little over a century, about 135 years longer. But they too finally fell to Babylon, and then for the same sinful reasons. And they were taken into captivity for a period of 70 years, as the prophets had prophesied that they would be. Now this captivity was coming to a close. The 70 years was over, and the events that we read about in Nehemiah, they had been allowed to return. In fact, Babylon had fallen, and the Persians were now in control. And the Persians had already allowed many of the Jews to return home. And just as their captivity had taken place in three stages, so their return was accomplished in three stages. And the first of these was under the leadership of a man named Zerubbabel, and he was the leader in rebuilding the temple. And then there was a second great movement under Ezra, who led the people in a great religious revival and led them to return to God. And then there was a third stage that was under the leadership of this man Nehemiah, of whom we read in the book after his name. And this is when he led the people in rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. Now these walls had been destroyed when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had conquered southern Judah. And it's this phase, the time of Nehemiah, that's the subject of our study. Now we begin to read that Nehemiah was the cupbearer for the Persian king, whose name was Artaxerxes. And the king, seeing him every day, would certainly take notice of him. And he noticed that there was a distinct change in the usually pleasant countenance of Nehemiah, and he asked him why. Well, that was when Nehemiah told him it was because of the news that had been brought to him about his fellow countrymen back over in the city of Jerusalem. The scripture says, "I asked from them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left in the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left in the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire." Well, the walls, as I said, had been destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. And a city without walls was an easy prey for whoever wished to plunder and to pillage. And this city was without defenses against marauding nomads and robbers, even beasts and whatever. Therefore the people there in Jerusalem were in disgrace. Now these bad conditions grieved Nehemiah because he cared about his people. After all, they were God's people. He cared about what this situation was doing even to the name of God before others. And the effect is revealed in Nehemiah chapter 1. And he said, "And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." But now, friend, Nehemiah did more than just mourn and fast and pray. He was not content to just do that and stop. He decided to do something about this situation. And this is the first lesson we need to learn. It is well and good to be concerned and to show concern in times of distress and need, but we need to do something about it. Oh, it's worthwhile to pray. But coupled with that must be action on our part that will affect the situation. And Nehemiah was determined to take action, and he would do something about the bad condition in Jerusalem. He made up his mind, we will rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And then we see Nehemiah leaving Persia and leaving the Shushan Palace with his face toward the distressed city of Jerusalem. And he was a leader with a holy purpose and a holy cause to attack the problem and engage a task that needed to be done. Now, Nehemiah had no personal ambitions in this matter, but he wanted to remove the reproach from God's people, and the name of God before others was to be lifted up rather than to be in reproach. You know, friend, every noble task must have good leadership if it's going to be accomplished. And those who lead must have the devotion and the dedication that it takes to do the work. Too many who lead lack that proper determination. And it makes you wonder sometimes how many worthy efforts have really withered and died because of the lack of good leadership. Proverbs 19 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But Nehemiah, he furnished the kind of vision. He furnished the kind of leadership this job required. And then we take notice of the steps that he took. The first thing that he did was to go to Jerusalem and thoroughly acquaint himself with the situation. He wanted to not only understand why the task had to be done, but he needed to understand what had to be done, how it could be done, when it could be done, who could get it done. He went to the scene where things were needed. One has said, and very properly so, you cannot lead where you will not go, like you cannot teach what you do not know. Well, Nehemiah went and he learned firsthand for himself. He went to count the cost, but now notice why he counted the cost. His counted the cost was not to try to decide whether he would tackle the job or not. He had already decided that. He was determined. He was going to get the job done. He counted the cost simply to find out what it was going to take to get it done. And he viewed the ruins of the walls back and forth and up and down, getting the facts, seeing the conditions, getting it clear in his own mind. And having done that, he was then in a position to develop solutions and to make plans. But now listen, friend, good plans are necessary in getting a good job done. But let's understand something about plans. Plans don't work. Regardless of how wonderful plans may be, plans don't work. People must do the work. People must work the plans. Now, we need plans to prevent waste and haphazard efforts. We ought not go into a task with a hit-or-miss approach. We need to plan. But that seldom succeeds, and the risk of failure is great when that is the manner of approach. There's nothing magic about having a plan by itself, even a good plan. But Nehemiah got the whole matter clear in his own mind, even before he told anyone why he was there. He took the initiative. He would be the leader. Now, Nehemiah, he not only knew the need of good leadership, but he understood something else. Something that is absolutely essential in getting a job done. And that is, he needed followers. Regardless of how good the leadership may be, unless he has followers, the job cannot be done. You see, Nehemiah wanted to rebuild these walls. But Nehemiah couldn't do this by himself. He had to enlist people who would follow him in this task. He had to find people who would listen to him and accept the directions and instructions that he would give them and take them to the solution. Good plans. Oh, he had good plans. But they're not much use if there's nobody there to execute them. You see, Nehemiah needed an informed, an aroused, and a determined, yes, we could say even an enthusiastic body of followers. He called the people together, and he rehearsed before them their situation as it existed. They were in bad circumstances. They could see the need for doing something, and he offered his proposals. The scripture says, "Then I said unto them, Ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire." And then he made this proposal, "Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no longer be a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, and also the king's word that he had spoken unto me." Now this last referred to permission that he had secured from the Persian king that was before he left Shushan, that he could use the supplies that belonged to the king in the rebuilding of the wall. And so now the opportunity to get things done was set before the people. Now you see the success or the failure of this entire project. It rested not only with Nehemiah, but also on the people as well. And Nehemiah called for a decision, but a decision that was based upon correct information. He knew the people needed to be persuaded, and he told them of how it could be done, and he told them of his plan, and the challenge was then placed before them. Now, this challenge was not just a push forward, a building up of enthusiasm. Nehemiah didn't just propose what we might call a pep rally emotion. It was not just a fanciful dream. Here is something that needed to be done and could be done. But there had to be leadership. He would furnish the leadership. There had to be those that would follow him in the ways that had to be done. And the followers had to be sold on this need, and what was at stake enough to commit themselves to the task. They had to decide, and their decision had to be based on conviction rather than some supercharged temporary fervor. And sold they were. Nehemiah was very persuasive, evidently, to the people in the things that could be done. What a good persuader Nehemiah must have been that day. And we see a very positive reaction on the part of the people. Friend, do we not learn from these things? In our next lesson, we're going to see what their reaction was. And we're going to see that their reaction stemmed from the heart. They had to have the right attitude toward what they were going to do if they were going to succeed in rebuilding the walls. The next lesson is going to see how Nehemiah led these people and how these people responded to the things that Nehemiah proposed. I hope that you'll be listening tomorrow and see how these people of Judah decided to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.